with cryptocurrency being used in the real estate world is that it invites a lot of foreign investment.
Okay.
And there's already a problem in the marketplace of insufficient housing or being owned by individual owners as opposed to, large corporations and hedge funds and stuff.
Right.
And so I think that that has the potential to be a stumbling block there. My other concern is the use of it in terms of turning a property into a security.
Welcome to the Concrete Build Crypto Financing Show, where we explore the intersection of real estate and crypto financing. We invite leaders, experts, and both real estate and crypto investors on our show to gain knowledge into the revolutionary new field of tokenized real estate. First, here's a word from our sponsor. What if you could invest in real estate with just a few clicks? Introducing Concrete Build, CBLD, where real estate meets blockchain. With CBLD, you can fund and own a stake in tokenized real estate backed by commercial properties, earn passive income, invest securely, and help solve the housing crisis. Invest today at concretebuild.org. Concrete Build, tokenizing properties, tokenizing wealth. And now to introduce my guest tonight. My guest today is Kel Sparta, and she's an expert voice in the field of spiritual business, transformational shamanship, shamanism, and energy healing. Is it Kel or Kelly?
Kelly.
Kelly Sparta.
Yeah.
Kelly Sparta from Kelly Sparta Enterprises empowers spiritual entrepreneurs to align purpose with profit and create lasting, meaningful success. And we are delighted to have her here tonight. Please join me in welcoming Kelly Sparta. How are you doing today, Kelly?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Wonderful. What do you see as the future of real estate, and how does crypto financing play a part in that future?
Well, so it's very interesting that you asked that question because I was reading your book earlier today in preparation for this conversation.
Okay.
And one of the big issues here in Boquete is that none of the real estate transactions are public knowledge. And so it's a crapshoot to buy anything here. You have no idea what the property's supposed to be worth. The real estate agents aren't even they are allowed to do net listings, so you can't rely on your agent to tell you the truth. They'll sell it, they'll get it from the owner for one price and sell it to you for a different price. So, all of these things are an issue. And then there's also issues with transfer of title. There's multiple different types of title, and only one of them is the type that we in the US would expect to have, and the others are highly problematic. And so, when I was reading your book with the discussion about blockchain, that would solve every single one of
So
those
many
problems,
problems.
every single one of them, right? And I'm like, yes, this is brilliant, right? I've been an investor in Bitcoin and Ethereum. I actually made huge amounts of money on Doge because I got in when I was starting, and I did, and then it just shot up, and I was like, holy
Nice.
cow, right? So, because I got in just before the whole, GameStop thing happened.
Right.
And so I'm familiar with Bitcoin and all of the cryptocurrency. And, I've spent I was in real estate for like 18 years. I was a national trainer in the industry. So when I look at it, this cryptocurrency is huge for making things easier. Now, my concern with cryptocurrency being used in the real estate world is that it invites a lot of foreign investment. And there's already a problem in the marketplace of insufficient housing or being owned by individual owners as opposed to, large corporations and hedge funds and stuff. And so I think that that has the potential to be a stumbling block there. My other concern is the use of it in terms of turning a property into a security. Because back during the crash in 2008 to 2012, the biggest challenge for ownership was that they had securitized all of the mortgages, and therefore nobody knew who owned the debt. And therefore, buyers or owners who were in default could not cure because there was no way to know who they were supposed to send the cure to. And so they got foreclosed on, even though they had the money to cure. And so it became a problem in that regard. I think the benefit that blockchain offers over that is that it's transparent. So you could actually identify who you would need to negotiate with, right?
Yes, everything's on the
Even if it's like 5,000 people, which would be
blockchain.
really obnoxious, but at least you would know who you'd need to talk to about it in order to make it go. And so that's a vast improvement over the 2008 situation because they're going to securitize mortgages no matter what. So you, at least with this, you have the sort of transparency necessary in order for that to happen. So, all of these things come into play. As far as what I see for the future of real estate, the thing that's happening right now, and I think it just depends on what happens with the government in the coming days, but what I would like to see happen would be that the government would come in and break up some of these monopolies that some of the larger owners of too many properties have, because they're impacting the marketplace in a monopolistic fashion. And
Increasing prices and making it really
exactly.
difficult.
Yeah, which, I understand the need for the software that allows landlords to figure out how much to charge in a market based on what the other market is, see market conditions. I understand the need for that. The challenge with it is that it becomes price fixing. And so it's like, you got to balance the needs of the investor versus the needs of the public. And so, that becomes its own challenge. And that used to be solved by real estate agents. Real estate agents were the answer. You would go to the agent, you would say, "How much can I charge for this?" And the agent would say, "X," right? But it wasn't price fixing because
They
each
need their
individual
customer.
agent had their each individual client and each individual opinion, and therefore, it wasn't price fixing from that perspective.
I even see blockchain or tokenization solving that problem because you can then have it where the properties, even if it's tokenized by 5,000 people, owned by regular people. And therefore, they have the power to control rather than a big institution that really only cares about profits.
So let me ask this question. You've got 5,000 people tokenized into a single property. How do you get approval to sell? Who decides when you buy and sell?
It's just like a stock at that point. So you're owning a piece of a stock.
There's revenue to be gained by renting, and then there's
Correct.
revenue to be gained by selling,
Got
right? And so who is in charge of the buying and selling as opposed to the renting, and who's in charge of the management and things like that?
I would assume whoever has the larger share of the property would guide that conversation. So,
Okay.
in the case of CBLD, we plan on owning most of our properties and then digitizing it from there. So, from the standpoint of owning it first and then digitizing it.
Right. But once you own it, how do you make use of the equity? How do you make use of, who does the work of renting out the property and things like that?
So the owner. So nothing changes in that regard. So our clientele initially is just going to be syndicates that own large shares of commercial property already.
Okay,
And
so
so they already own the properties and they're wanting now to digitize it to make it into a stock, if you
okay,
will.
so you're not actually owning the house or the property, the
You're owning
larger
a
property.
stock. You're owning a piece of that stock. So you're
You
still
simply
participating in any gains from that property. As that property appreciates, you're participating in that as well. And then
so
you're
it's
also participating in the growth of the coin itself. So it's two prong. If you
So
own it through a coin, that particular coin, in this case, it would be CBLD, as CBLD increases in value, just like Dogecoin increase in value, you'll also participate in the increase of the coin itself.
okay, and so is the so the property is like a corporation, and you're digitizing the stock in the corporation,
That is
right?
correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Yeah. And there are pros and cons. You mentioned you're concerned about the international investors. There are pros and cons to that because now that it's democratized, you can attract a regular international investors, not the billionaires or the, those that are potentially wanting to launder their money. You're attracting regular investors from across the world, people with small amounts of money compared to maybe your wealthy Westerners, that may want to own a piece of property but couldn't do so before. But now, because it's a token, now they're able to do that.
Yeah. So the only other resistance I can foresee in the market is something you actually addressed in your book, which is people not knowing how to deal with crypto or what it is or how to do
Yes.
it. I was actually chewing on that as I was thinking about coming on here because,
Right.
there are in traditional transactions, there are either attorneys or closing companies that are there to facilitate the transaction. And so I'm not sure why you couldn't just have the facilitation company have the Bitcoin account and then just have it cashed out and have it passed to the owner as cash. I don't see why that would be a problem so long as the Bitcoin owner takes the risk of the volatility because, it can be up or down, but it can be up or down in any given moment. And so long as the cash out equivalent is X amount of dollars, then I don't see why that would be a problem. And I think that's a role that could be played by the facilitation person, whoever it is, whether it's an attorney or a cop.
Right.
So yeah, that could be done. And that was the first thought to my head. So I'm wondering how it would impact the 1041 tax exchange, how that would be impacted, because in investor circles, that's a huge issue. And the speed of the transaction is going to be important in those situations because the tax code only allows for so many periods, so many days, right? So I imagine that that might be a really great option for facilitating the speed of transaction.
Well, everything, as you said, it's transparent. Any commerce that takes place in crypto, the crypto world, the blockchain world is transparent. So believe me, government is already taxing crypto companies and crypto
Oh,
holders and all
certainly.
transactions involved. So,
Yeah, I just paid an extra $300 to my accountant for doing my
yes.
crypto return. So
Then,
I know.
right, for sure. And in answer to your question about the fact that people are not very crypto savvy, I feel that crypto has gotten into its teenage maturity stages. It's no longer as volatile, and people are much more comfortable now looking for coins with utility. And so you'll hear that a lot. So the meme coin days, I think, are over. So you're looking for more coins that have a longer trajectory because they have utility backed by it. And that's what CBLD aims to do, not just with having our real estate backed coin, but also the fact that we're going to make it where our renters are using CBLD to pay not just the rent, but the mortgage. And those that want to purchase the properties will do so through CBLD as well. So there's a lot of utility baked into our coin, and therefore it's going to be a much more stable coin.
Well, especially since you're basing it in the real estate industry, that will
Correct.
have a stabilizing impact to begin with. But yeah.
Exactly. A real asset for sure. So I want to shift the conversation just a little bit into let's talk a little bit about what you do, Hilly. Tell us a little bit more about what this sh spiritual shamanism is and empowering entrepreneurs through spirituality and aligning our purpose. I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So as you said, I'm a shaman. I do transformational work with people. And so I work with people on their limiting beliefs, on accessing their intuition and being able to sort of see the potential in the future.
I love
And
that.
I work with them on how to read people better, how to, I do corporate intuitive work and help people who are doing business transactions to see them more clearly. And so, I do all of that as well as doing work with people on just being happier in general, because that's so hard for pretty much everybody, right? Because, there's no education on that in our school system, right?
is so true.
Yeah. So I work with people on all of the issues that get in the way of your happiness and your inner peace, the ability to just be still and not have anxiety. and to be calm and to have everything feel like it's okay and you're not like freaking out and waiting for the other shoe to drop and all of that stuff. That's what I do.
I love that. For me, meditation definitely helped with that. When I discovered meditation, it really helps to center me, and I know where to go if I start getting anxious. I just do some breathing exercises, I'll be all right.
Meditation is a good tool. The challenge is that it doesn't change your mindset or beliefs. It changes your physical state, which is really good for clearing the brain. But in terms of changing, for instance, people often look for coping mechanisms for when they get triggered. What do I do to make myself be less upset? What I do is I change the way you respond to situations so that you never have to deal with the trigger. So
I
that because you
love
don't get triggered in the first place. So it's a different pathway, right?
that.
So meditation's a great coping mechanism. It's a great practice to have to sort of just generally release stress, but it can be
After
a
the fact.
cognitive and it's an act after the fact, but it's not a solution, right?
Got it. So mind, so getting a positive mindset is the solution.
It's more about a different perspective. Less about a mindset and more about a perspective shift because the way that you're seeing the world is a way that makes it feel less safe. So when you can see the world differently, the way that most people see the world is that it's sort of like they learn to see the world with their face on the ground and their somebody's boot on their head. And eventually they just were like, well, I have to move. So they got a skateboard and stuck it underneath their head. Now they're crawling around on their hands and their knees and they're trying to make sure nobody kicks them in the head or stomps on their feet, which happens all the time because nobody knows they're on their skateboard, right? And so, they're wondering why everybody's upright and they're all just fine. It's because, well, they're not on a skateboard. And, I show people how to get off a skateboard.
That is a great visual, Kelly. I love that. Tony Robbins, who I like to watch, he always says, "What's the story that you're telling yourself?" So I guess it's something like to that effect.
Similar concept, yes.
Okay, got it. So, I am from Panama originally. You mentioned that you live in Boquete. Do you feel like you're getting a little bit more spiritual, alignment being in Boquete, or just because it's beautiful that you're there?
So I think they're one and the same, actually, because what happens here is that I wake up and I go outside and I look at, I live in Alto Boquete, so we actually have to drive to get down into the Bajo area. And so I'm always looking at this beautiful vista of all these mountains with all the clouds that are constantly changing. It's a cloud forest, and so it always looks different. And so every single day I go and I do that. My husband and I look at each other and we go, we live here, right? We've been here for 2.5 years. You should have normalized by now, but no. We live here and we're like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. It's
That
so,
is.
look, it constantly activates this state of gratitude. And gratitude is the most spiritual state you can be in.
For
And I would say that it is more spiritual. I mean, the energy here has a name. It's actually called Tranquilo by the locals,
sure.
right? And so that in and of itself is a lovely connection point and a lovely way to be. Now that we've just had a patio put on the back of our house.
Oh, nice.
So we're super excited because our Japanese garden that we've had for 2.5 years, we haven't been able to sit out and enjoy because we haven't had any covered space. We've been like, yes. So we're in super happy gratitude, ex just being, just being, right? It's a being
Yes,
state.
I
So the
love
more you
it.
can be in your body and the more you can be in gratitude, the better your life is.
I agree. I
Yeah.
do. That's awesome. Tell our viewers how they can reach you if they want to get some of your coaching. I'm assuming you do everything virtual.
Yes. Well, I also do private retreats here in Panama as well. So people can come down and spend 4 days with me. But yes, the vast majority of my work is online. And they can just come to kellysparta.com. If you're not sure if you're interested in talking to me yet, you can check out my podcast at Spirit Sherpa. I've got 400 episodes on there that you can binge to your heart's content. I've been doing it for a long time.
That is amazing. Well, we'll be sure to add that link in our description.
Awesome.
So thank you so much, Kelly. I feel just calm and spiritual just talking to you. I love it. You have a very good vibe, very, very tranquila vibe
Thank you,
for sure.
Beth.
Yes. So I just want to tie everything up with the nice little bow. You've learned a lot about real estate. Kelly is an amazing expert in that as well. So you've learned a little bit about real estate today and a little bit about how to be in state and just being in a state of gratitude, which is amazing. We all need that. We all need a little bit of that. So if you wanted to learn a little bit more about Concrete Built, please visit concretebuild.org. Concrete Built, tokenizing properties, tokenizing wealth.